Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins.
Welcome to Refuge Huntington Beach's Men's Breakfast. Today we have special guest, Pastor Garrett Beeler of Vision City Church in Irvine, California. He'll be sharing a message we can apply to the challenges, temptations, and sins we struggle with on a daily basis, titled Perseverance and Endurance, taken from 1 Peter 1, 3-9. Now let's listen in as our Pastor Bill introduces Garrett.
How many of you went to Lakewood High School? Yes. Yeah, let's hear it for the Lancers. We were pretty dominant back in my day. I had nothing to do with the dominance, but we were strong. We were strong. But that was back in my very stupid days. But I did bring the proof that I went there with my, I got my yearbook here from 19, well, you don't know. You don't need to know. 1970. And yes. But one of the most important pages in here has nothing to do with my picture on it. It's page 221. And down at the bottom, there's this young, fresh-faced kid who really looks like he's 12 instead of probably at that point 15 or 16. And his name is Roy Thurison. And I didn't know Roy very well, but I knew Roy well enough that one day while I was in the depth of my lostness, and I don't know how he knew, but he approached me on the campus. And he said, hey, I want to invite you to come with me to, and I can't remember if it was a concert, a youth event. I don't know what it was, but I knew it was, everybody say religious. Religious. At least I thought it was religious. And so I said, yeah, thank you, but no thanks. And he was one of those voices, and really as much of it had to do with just the way he approached me. There was compassion, there was concern that began to wear down my foolish defenses against the love of God. And Roy Thurison is the uncle of Garrett Beeler, who's going to be coming to speak to you today. And I was thinking about that. Here's this, you know, still a godly man now, just a couple years younger than me, so he must be about 60. He's getting close to 60. And I want to see him again sometime soon and just thank him for that blow from God's hammer against the defenses of my heart. He was one of those that I look back when I count the 14 or so within the space of a year that God used to wear me down, that eventually, you know, brought me to Christ. And I was thinking about legacy and families and God's hand upon a family. And God's hand has certainly been upon the Beeler household. The Beelers were here among us at Calvary Huntington Beach before we were Refuge for a while when we were on the other side of the Edinger over there in the other part of the city, and been just watching God do a great thing through the boys, Garrett and Brennan, and Mom and Dad serving as well, and his other brother and sister, and I'm just very, very thankful for Garrett. I don't know if you'd call it a regret, but I remember when I talked with Garrett when he was coming back from Bible college and ministry in Hawaii and just feeling like God was maybe calling him to serve here in Orange County, and we had a brief conversation, and I wish we'd been in a place where I could have said, well, Garrett, why don't you just join us here on staff, and we couldn't do that at that time, but I don't think we missed out. I don't think he missed out on anything because God used him greatly down there at Costa Mesa, you know, on Monday nights, and now he's planted a church. Is it Vision City Church? Is that it? In Tustin? In Irvine. So if you guys are over that way, you got friends and family that need Jesus, there's another great place to take them. But I want you to get ready for what's going to be an amazing heavenly burrito. Let me tell you what I mean. A great message is just like a burrito. Take notes on this, okay? This is a message before the message. It's like a great burrito. It's nutritious. It's healthy. Amen? Were those good? This is going to be even better. It's tasty. I mean, what good is nutrition if it's not tasty? So what need is there for kale? I'm just saying, who really needs kale? But it's got to be tasty, like a flavor explosion, and it needs to be portable too. Aha, see the burrito thing? It's portable. It's travel food, and it's all wrapped up. In this case, it's wrapped up in love, like your burrito was wrapped up in love. Let's hear it again for the ladies that did this for us and to us. But today you're going to hear from Garrett. He's going to bring you a healthy, flavorful message. It's wrapped up in love and in the power of the Lord. You're going to be able to wrap this up and take it with you. And it's travel food. It's road food. So get ready. Open your heart and please welcome Garrett Beeler as he comes to bring you a heavenly burrito.
Guys, good morning. And I have to just say, and I'll use a microphone here too in a second, but
I have to just say, piggybacking on what Pastor Bill had shared, I want to personally just say thank you to this church and to Pastor Bill, Pastor Allen, and just Calvary Refuge. Refuge Huntington Beach has been such a blessing to my family. As was mentioned, growing up, I went to Ocean View High School in Huntington and spent a lot of crazy years through high school and college where this church ministered to me and to my family. And now I have a family of my own, two kids, and it's still happening, you know, and we've been so blessed. So I just want to say thank you. And it's a great privilege to be here with you guys this morning. This morning, I'm going to be speaking on perseverance and endurance. We've already exhibited a little bit of that in eating those burritos today. And we're going to go ahead and pray, and we'll ask the Lord to bless this time. Father, we thank you so much for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you, Lord, that you never give up on us. And Lord, as we have sinned, as we have fallen short of your glory, time and time again, we thank you that you, Lord, remain faithful. We thank you, Lord, that you have brought us here today, Lord, to hear from you, to be encouraged, to be equipped, and Lord, to be better men, hopefully, better men, better fathers, better husbands, better employees and employers, Lord, better servants of you. And so, Lord, we ask that you would add your blessing to the reading and study of your word. And Lord, we ask for these things in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to be looking at verses 3 through 9. When I was thinking about and praying about what I felt like the Lord would want me to share this morning, I thought I would share a little bit about what the Lord's been doing personally in my life, how this has spoken to me and how it's affected me and how it's changed me. And I know that the Word of God being living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword is something that will really, really penetrate deep into the recesses, innermost recesses of our hearts today. And I'm excited to see what the Lord's going to do. In verse 3 of 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Begotten means giving birth to or given life to be born again. Now, some people in America will say, you know what, I'm a Christian because I was born in America. That's just the way it is. My mom popped me out, boom. There, waving the Jesus flag. And, or, you know, I went to Sunday school or I go to church. That makes me a Christian. We know that through faith in Jesus Christ, we have been changed. We have been revolutionized. We have been made whole. I remember this was about 5 or 6 years ago or so, on Beach and Ellis. There's a liquor store right on the corner across from Five Points. Some of you may know of that place. And I remember one night I was driving home. It was about 10 o'clock at night, and it was a Wednesday evening, a communion service. And for those of you that live in Huntington and you know that that liquor store was mainly like where you go to get liquor, you know, I didn't really go in there to get a Kit Kat or anything. And I remember one night I was driving down the street, and I saw this young man walking across the street, probably in his mid-20s or so. And I felt like the Lord, as clear as day, spoke to me and said, go and share with him how much I love him. Share the gospel with him. And I remember thinking to myself, I was like, it's 10 o'clock at night, Lord. I want to go home and go to bed. You know, and I'm a pastor saying this, so it's way worse. You know, I was at Calvary Chapel at the time. And it was a Wednesday evening where we had communion. And so we had suits and ties, you know, on Wednesday evening. And finally, the Lord just spoke to me and said, yes, go and share the gospel with him. So I pulled over into the parking lot, and then I stood outside of my car, right outside the entrance of that liquor store, and I thought, oh, this is great. Someone's going to drive by and see Pastor Garrett standing outside the liquor store at 10:30 at night and be like, no, put the booze away, Pastor Garrett. Come on, man, not you too. And so anyway, this guy comes walking out holding a big brown bag with a 40 in it, and he comes stepping out, and I said, hey, what's up, man? And he just stops and looks at me, and I said, do you know how much Jesus Christ loves you, that he died on the cross for all of your sins? And I started sharing the gospel with him, about 2 or 3 minutes, like a concentrated, you know, here's the gospel. And he looks at me, and this is what he says. You don't know where I'm from, man. Just like that, turns his back to me, walks out of the parking lot, across the crosswalk, heading west on Beach Boulevard, and out of sight. And I thought to myself, what in the world was that all about? I mean, that was a real winner. You know, where was the glorious light shining in this guy, you know, receiving Jesus right there in the parking lot? And if you've ever been in a conversation that you've had with somebody and then it was over, you've asked yourself this question, why did I say that? I should have said this, or I should have said that. I mean, I should have just straight up and told him, I have been sent by God. You know, why didn't I just tell him that? And the Lord spoke to me right there in the parking lot, because he said, you don't know where I'm from, man. And the Lord said to me, this is clear as day. I'll never forget it. Honestly, sometimes it gives me chills when I think about it. But God told me, Garrett, it's not about where you're from. It's about where you're headed and who you want to be and where you want to go and what you want to do. This is the very thing that brings hope to us. This is the good news of the gospel. This is when Peter is saying, who has begotten us again, has made us alive, born again, being made alive spiritually, that it's no longer about where we were from, but about where we were headed. And who we wanted to be and what we wanted to do. And maybe you've come in here this morning saying, you know what? I have this past with me. I've made these mistakes and I've done these wrong things and I got problems with my kids, or I got problems with my marriage, or problems at my job, or even personally, privately, I have sin in my life and there's things going on and I don't know what I can do. Well, it is not coincidental and it's not accidental that you're here today, because it is not about where you're from. It's about where you're headed. And hopefully today you will understand that and hold fast to that and say, Lord, I thank you for that. He says he has begotten us again, verse 3 in 1 Peter chapter 1, begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Begotten also insinuates that you have been conformed to the will of God's intention for your life. In Romans 12, verse 2, it says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What if it would have happened where God would have allowed this to be penned in his word, where it said, instead of according to his abundant mercy, it said according to his abundant justice? Because we know God is a just God. We would not have been begotten again into a living hope. We would have been dead in our sins without hope of life. So, he has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept, verse 5, 1 Peter 1, by the power of God through the faith for salvation, through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. An inheritance, it says in verse 4, something that is stored up for you. Maybe you know somebody that's a pack rat. You know, they hang on to everything. They need to go to Pack Rats Anonymous type of thing, you know, and have someone do an intervention. Get rid of the junk in your garage, man, that kind of thing. The Bible tells us that there are two types of inheritances stored up for people. Two. Just two. That's very simple. Two. One, riches of God's blessings and God's wrath. Those are the only inheritances. You're following Christ, you receive the inheritance of goodness and blessings. If you are not, you receive that inheritance of wrath. In Romans chapter 2, you can turn there, but you can listen as well. Verse 4, it says, do you despise the riches of his goodness? Paul writing to the church in Rome. Do you despise the riches of God's goodness, his forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? God is patient with us. He is patient with us time and time again. In my morning devotions, right now we're going through Joshua, and we're taking our church through this concentrated dose of reading the Bible in 180 days. So it's really, really like concentrated. And this morning, and what has been the theme through, you know, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, now even into Judges, is that the people of God would see these amazing things and these miracles, and the Lord would fight their battles and smite their enemies. And then it says, and then they did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. And then they did what was evil inside of the Lord. And then they did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. And I was driving here and I'm just going, God, please forgive me of my sin. How often are we like the children of Israel who see God do amazing things, pouring out his spirit, providing for us, and then we do what was evil again in the sight of the Lord. I mean, I'm almost thinking like, what's wrong with these people of Israel, man? Are they just not getting it or what? But then how often are we like that? Wow, God provided for me, and then we do what was evil in the sight of the Lord. God is forbearing. He is patient. And that leads us to repentance, to turn from our sin. You're not going to hear a lot of talk these days in most churches about repentance, turning from your sin. As if you were heading north on the 405, you get off and go south on the 405, making a 180-degree turn in your life. It says, continuing on, it says, but in accordance, Romans 2:5, with the hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But Romans 2:10 says, but glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. 1 Peter 1:4, it says, to an inheritance, what God is storing up for you men because of your faith in Jesus, because of your relationship with God, is an inheritance of treasure that does not fade away. It's reserved in heaven for you. For you. You, verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That word kept in the Greek, you may have heard it, is that word phrureo, which means to guard or to protect by military guard or watching and guarding to preserve one for the attainment of something. Thank God that we are kept by his power. It's not our power. We fall short daily. We fall short daily. Daily. We are guarded, we are protected when we have faith in God, and he's protecting us so that we might obtain that position that he desires for us to be in, the center of his perfect will. Now, I've met some of the athletes that are here. I played high school basketball, got a scholarship, played in college, was playing with some professional teams. I broke my hip, I tore my groin muscle. I went from 360 dunking to being like every other white guy. And then like kind of, you know, get a credit card under there when you jump, like that kind of thing. And I remember being in that place where, you know, your dreams, your aspirations, everything just comes shattering down around you. Everything that you found your self-esteem, you know, wrapped in, it was taken away. You know, the same crowd that used to cheer for you is now booing you. And, you know, all your friends and the parties and the people that you're around and socializing with wanted nothing to do with you anymore. And it's a very, very humbling thing to find yourself in. It's a very difficult thing, where you have something that you find your self-worth in taken away from you. What the Lord is stirring up or storing up for us can never be taken away. You're not going to get to heaven and hear, you know, St. Peter say, sorry, we had a break-in last night. All your treasures are gone, buddy. Sorry. Storing up for you an inheritance. You who are kept by the power of God. I can't tell you how often in my own life, Satan has tried to lure me out of the center of God's perfect will. As Pastor Bill had mentioned, I had the great privilege from October of 2004 to December of 2013 to pastor at Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa. I was able to do a study on Monday nights, and it was on K-Wave. It was great. But with that, a lot of crazy things happened. I started dealing with demon-possessed people, which was not something you ever sign up for. Yeah, put me on that list, please. Like, you don't, and a lot of times you know, our culture, Hollywood, you see sensationalism in movies and all this kind of stuff that people think that, oh, that's not really real. And I remember so often where it would just be at this point in my life where I was just like, I can't deal with this stuff anymore. Like, it's freaking me out. Like, I can't sleep at night. I'm having like these weird dreams. I mean, these people are like, I almost like had a homing beacon on me. There'd be like 12 of us pastors up front for prayer after service. And the one time that somebody would come in, have an unclean spirit, it was like they would look at all the people in the line and be like, like right to me every single time. And it got to the point where it was so bad. And I was the youngest guy on staff. I was only 24. Everybody else was older than me. And it got to the point where the pastor started making fun of me. See, my name's Garrett Beeler. And they said, GB's not for Garrett Beeler, GB's for Ghostbuster. You know, like that kind of thing. And it wasn't funny at all. Actually, I was very upset about it. And I had some of the craziest things happen. You know, witches would come in, you know, they're practicing sorcery and just all kinds of gnarly stuff, possessed and voices coming out of people. And I remember, and the point is kept by the power of God through faith, is that I remember having the thought that popped in my head, hey, Garrett, if you would just turn it down, if you would just like maybe go and do something different, you know, you have a business background, you can go do something else, I'll totally take it easy on you. You know, all these bad dreams and crazy people and stuff that's happening, man, you want to go sleep through the night? All that. I remember like this just attack from Satan to get me to turn away from what God had called me to do because he would quote unquote take it easy on me then. Well, listen. Being kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, meaning that God is keeping you in a place to get you to a certain place, means that Satan will do whatever he can to remove you from the center of God's perfect will, not so that he can take it easy on you, so that he can destroy you. You might think, oh, it's easier out there. Look at these guys. They're progressing. They're climbing the ladder quicker. I'm trying to be ethical. I'm trying to be godly. And look where I'm at. I'm having problems. I'm having difficulties. None of these guys are having any of the issues that I have. And I'm a Christian. What's going on with that? And you start seeing how the spirals, questioning God, wondering if he still loves us, wonder if he's still faithful to us. Satan can get us to stop having faith in God, then he knows that he has us right where he wants us. See, we are kept in verse 5, 1 Peter, kept by the power of God through faith. Through faith. You want to remain in that position of being protected by the power of God means you must hold fast to your faith in Jesus. Now, this world's getting worse and worse. We don't need to explain that to anybody. You see the news, you see what's happening. Evil is abundant. Information, you can get it anywhere about things that are just perverse, and kids at younger ages are seeing pornography, and just it's crazy what's happening here in our world. This is the time for us to hunker down. This is the time for us to not drop out of the race. This is the time for us to learn from the past mistakes and not make them again anymore. Because every one of us are battling with a certain sin, and the way that it works with men too, it's like we have a hard time admitting that we have problems. It just seems to be something that goes with the territory of being a man. But the three entities that know about our sin is us, number one. We know about our sin and we seek to hide it. And it sounds something like, you know, it's not that big of a deal. I could quit anytime. You know, I got this under control. It's okay. We don't need help. We don't need anybody. Second entity, Satan. He knows the areas that we're weak, and he is going to continue to exploit us in those areas until he absolutely destroys us. Third entity is God. He sees those areas that we're weak and is able to help us. The gospel, the good news, could be paraphrased not in its entirety, but partially as God knew every sin that you would ever commit before you were even born and still sent his only son, Jesus, to die on the cross for your sin. Thank God for that. That we're kept by the power of God. Verse 6, it says, in this you greatly rejoice. And we say, yes, amen. Thank you, Lord, that you keep me by your power through faith for salvation. And it will be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Now, naturally, we rejoice when things are going good. I just got a promotion. Yes! God, you're amazing! You're such a merciful, gracious, kind, loving God. My car just broke down. How could you, God? How are you doing this to me? And like that kind of a thing. We rejoice in the fact that God is keeping us and guarding us and protecting us and escorting us to our final destination. But we not only rejoice in that, but in Romans 5:3 it says, we also rejoice or glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. What? Well, this word, tribulation, I know we're doing a little minor Greek lesson this morning, but it's only two words. This word, tribulation, is the word thlipsis in the Greek, which actually means to take a little olive and to squash it with a rock to get a drop of oil out of it. It implies pressure. It implies weight. So how in the world are we to glory? Why do I glory in tribulations, in the times that I feel like I'm being crushed to death? God, I can't do this anymore. I've had it. I've had it. Now, I've been blessed with an amazing wife. We've been married for 7 years this September. It's coming up. And we have two beautiful children. My son Hudson just turned 6 in June, and my daughter Ava will be 4 in September. Ava was born our wedding anniversary September 1st, and our wedding anniversary almost got erased from the history books with her birth, except she came at 12:30 in the morning on September 2nd, and she is an absolute, just a little princess. And for the first 2.5-3 years of her life, she had some severe problems that we had no idea what was going on with her. And for the first 9-10 months of her life, she cried 20 hours a day. And it was the most awful thing that I've ever experienced. She would only sleep 2 hours a day for nearly a year. And I remember, and especially being a dad, you want to fix things, you want to take care of your little girl. My son, it's like, he's a tough kid. You know, if I had another boy, I felt like I would have been really good at raising another boy. But then God gave me just this beautiful daughter. And then for those of you dads that have girls, you know, something just changes when you have a little girl. And I remember, and the hardest time was from 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. That was the hardest time of the night. And we went through this period. A year went by, a year and a half went by, 2 years went by, 2.5 years went by, where no doctor could figure out why that she was dealing with these things. She couldn't walk, she couldn't crawl, she couldn't speak, and she was just crying continually. And I seriously almost lost it. Like, it's hard for me to even talk about this right now. Where your daughter is in so much pain, and then you're crying out to God, going, like, God, like, what's going on? Then you question, you know, then Satan's right there. God's left you. He's forsaken you. He's given up on you. And you're like, Lord, I'm serving you. I'm trying to love my wife. You know, people are getting saved on Mondays and we're ministering to people. Lord, what in the world? You know, what in the world? And you're crying out to God. And this is something that was so real with my marriage. Like, it affected my marriage. It affected my whole family. It affected my ministry. It affected my life. Where we would try to lay down and go to sleep. And the moment we started praying, you know, the baby would start crying. It was almost like some twisted joke. And I'm going like, Lord, every time we pray, like, things seem to get worse. Not better, worse. I try to seek you, Lord, things get worse. This doesn't make sense. Maybe you can relate to that in certain areas of your life. And you know Satan's right there whispering in your ear saying, doesn't work, does it? You should just forget about it. It's too late, too far gone. God doesn't really love you. He doesn't really care about you, because if he did, why would he allow you to be in this type of situation? Why would he allow you to be in this time where you feel like you're being crushed to death, where your marriage is hurting, your relationship with your children is hurting, your ministry and what God's called you to do is hurting? You are questioning even your relationship with God. Oh, I thought you were a pastor, man. I didn't think you're not supposed to deal with that kind of stuff. Listen, just a man like everybody else. Straight across the board, the Bible says that we've all sinned and we all fall short of the glory of God. How in the world are we to glory in tribulations in the times that I feel like I'm being crushed to death? Because it's at those times, and you know, as you've heard from, you know, your Bible teaching and your Bible study, the two types of to know, oeda, to know by, you know, theory or by idea, or to gnosko, to know by experience, I can tell you that I know by experience that it's at those times that we feel like we're being crushed to death, that you have nowhere to go, that you cling to God and you say, God, this is beyond me. This is beyond me, Lord. I cannot do this. In college, I'm ashamed to say it, I used to have a foul mouth. I did. I grew up in a Christian home. I walked with the Lord, and there was a time that I walked away, and all my friends, you know, drugs, partying, language, I was super competitive. I was just like, I had a chip on my shoulder. I had something to prove, and I used to have a foul mouth. And when I surrendered my life back to the Lord, he took that away from me, and I didn't have that anymore. But stuff started happening when these things were going on in my life with my daughter. Stuff started welling to the surface that I didn't even know was there. Clinging to God. Lord, I cannot do this. I am so frail and I'm inadequate. Being a tough guy, that's hard to say, isn't it? Lord, I can't handle this. I can't take this. We realize we need God to take care of us. In 2 Corinthians 3, verse 5, it says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. Remember that word tribulation, phlipsis in the Greek, crushings. You saw that literally take place in the Garden of Gethsemane, which actually means, ironically, the place of the olive press, where Jesus, the night before he was crucified, was so pressed and so stressed and so pressured by what was going to happen the following day that he sweat great drops of blood. But he said, Father, not my will, but your will be done. I don't see it. I don't get it. I don't understand it. Quite frankly, honestly, I don't like it. But your will be done. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. We all know that or have heard it. Trust the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him and he'll direct your path. I felt like God gave me a little personal addendum to that. Not adding to the scriptures, okay? Burn him, heretic! You know, like, don't worry. But I just felt like personal application. I felt like the Lord said, Garrett, trust me with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding of what you think's happening behind the scenes or what you think's really going on. You have such a small view of the big picture. Acknowledge me in all of your ways. I'll direct your path. Tribulation produces perseverance, produces patience. In James 5:8, it says, you also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. We know happy is the man who endures. Happy is the man who endures. When we finally say, all right, Lord, I can't do this. I can't pull this one off. We're forced to hold on to the Lord. We're forced to cling to Him. We let the Lord do His work, and He can do what is impossible for us to do for ourselves. In verse 6 of 1 Peter 1, it says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness, verse 7, the proving of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, you've heard the analogy of like our character being refined through the fire as gold's being refined, right? We've heard about that. You know how a goldsmith would have a cauldron, you know, and it would be filled with gold, but it would also have other impurities in it, and how they would heat that gold and the substance that was in that cauldron to the heat where the heat was so hot that the impurities would start to percolate to the top. Back when I was telling you about my foul language problem that I used to have and how I thought that it was gone, when these things were happening with my family and with my little girl, it was like 3:30 in the morning. I remember all of these things just of like anger and frustration, maybe even hatred, just upsetness, and things just started going right to the top, right till it was in my mind, on the tip of my tongue, where I was just like, you know? That's why the Lord says, take every thought into captivity and subject it to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in your life. See, what happened in my life was this very thing. If need be, you are grieved by various trials that the genuineness of your faith might be found to be more precious than gold that perishes. What happens in our life is that sometimes the Lord will allow through circumstances the temperature to be turned up. Turned up enough, like you might be cooking. And that temperature is so turned up because He promises that He is faithful to complete the work which He started in each and every one of us. And that means even the things that we didn't even know were there, even the things that we thought we had dealt with years ago, things that were so deep inside of us, areas of the flesh, areas of sin, that the Lord had to turn the heat up to show us that these were the things that needed to be dealt with. And many times people will say, well, you know, God just allows you to do those things or go through those things or tests us so He can see what you're made of. I don't think that is heretical, but I would like to say, rather, God already knows what we're made of, and when we go through those times, we see what we're made of. We see who we really are. Shows us what we're like. Lord, I love you when you're blessing me, and Lord, what's going on when you're having me go through these difficult times. See, guys, God has called us as men to be leaders of what is right, not followers of what is wrong. Not to go the way of this world, but to stand for truth and righteousness, to stand for Jesus. And it's not easy. It's not easy being a husband. It's not easy being a father. It's not easy being a man. But we didn't ask for easy. We didn't ask for easy. I just want my whole life to be easy. Your character is about that deep. When you recognize that it is through those testings and through those times of trial that God is actually purging you. I heard some men talking about the Marine Corps. Hoorah! I know that, as they say, weakness, right? Pain is weakness leaving the body. Very well put. We go through those times of testings and trials. It is our flesh leaving, being crucified, being removed. And so as the impurities start percolating to the top of that cauldron, the goldsmith scoops out the impurities, throws them in the trash, and you're left with a pure gold. Our character, men of faith, that the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, salvation of your souls. And that's where I leave you today. By God's grace, he has gotten my family, and my life hasn't always been a tiptoe through the tulips type of experience, but he has gotten me personally, my wife, my son, and my daughter through this time. Where my daughter now, for the last 3 months, has been sleeping through the night. I'll tell you, man, I'm so thankful for that. He's allowed it, like, praise the Lord. I mean, that's a miracle. Like, God has helped us. My daughter's going to therapy multiple times a week. You know, she's got her little ankle leg braces on, and she's starting to be able to push a little shopping cart walking like this now. The Lord has so helped us, and he's so blessed us. And I'm not an atheist. I am more confident and more determined than ever before to preach the gospel, to tell people about Jesus, and to try to do the best job that I can in leading my family, and even leading a brand new church that was planted on January 5th of this year. So guys, keep fighting the good fight. And remember what I said at the beginning. I mean, if you remember just one thing, I mean, there might be some good stuff to chew on here, but it's not about where you're from. It's about where you're headed, starting right now. Who you were when you came in here today doesn't need to be who you are when you leave here today. And that goes for everything, every area of your life. It could be a brand new chance with your wife starting right now. Brand new chance with your kids starting right now. Brand new chance with you and Jesus starting right now. And you always look back on this day, man, what a day. Those burritos were amazing. Man, this church is awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Would you please join with me as we pray? Father, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy, for your grace. And Lord, we do not deserve your blessing, yet you have given us undeserved love. Lord, you have given us undeserved favor. And Lord, I pray, God, that if there are any men that are struggling with any of the things that maybe were touched on today, that you would encourage them, that you would lift them up, and Lord, that you would renew in them that right heart with you. Lord, I pray that if there are any here that don't know you personally, Lord, maybe they've been going through the motions. Maybe they were invited to come to this breakfast. Maybe, Lord, they have a spouse, a wife that is a believer and bought them a ticket and said, go to this. Lord, maybe there's some here, Father, that have walked away from you. Lord, that they know the things in the Bible, but Lord, they have made a decision to not apply those things to their lives. Lord, I pray that today, Lord, whether they're near or far, that they would come to that place of complete surrender to you. If you're here this morning and you've never given your life to Jesus, just as your own man, and you've never repented from your sin, you've never put your faith in Jesus, I'm going to invite you to do that today. If you've never given your life to Jesus, know that he knows all about you. He knows all the sin that you've ever committed, and he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for you so that you might have eternal life, that you would know when you breathe your last breath, you would breathe your first breath in the kingdom of heaven and hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. If you're here and maybe you've walked away from the Lord and your lifestyle is one that is contradicting what the Lord says you should be living like and you need to rededicate your life to the Lord sees all things, he knows all things, and he wants to set you free and he wants to strengthen you and he wants to bless you today. He wants to empower you with his Holy Spirit. Father, I pray, Lord, you know what's going on with them personally, with their families, with their work. Lord, you know about addictions, you know about struggles. But Lord, you are a very present help in time of need. And so, Lord, I pray that as these men pray this prayer, Lord, that they'd mean it in their heart and that they would move forward. Would you just repeat this prayer after me? This isn't the magic prayer. This is just a guideline for you, and it acknowledges some things. Just mean it in your heart and repeat after me and say, Dear Jesus, Forgive me of my sin and fill me with your Holy Spirit. I thank you that you love me, even knowing everything about me. I thank you that you died on the cross for my sin. And I thank you that you have forgiven me of all of my sin. Would you fill me with your love and your joy and your peace and give me your strength that I may be who you've created me to be? For I give you my life today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins.
Thank you for listening to Pastor Garrett's timely message. We pray you've been encouraged to apply what the Holy Spirit has said to you and walk closer than ever to Jesus. For more information about Refuge, please go to refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Grace and peace from all of us at Refuge, and we're looking forward to seeing you soon.